Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places, from the first, from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. We'll be reading the first two verses of 2 Thessalonians 1 and the last three verses of 2 Thessalonians 3. So the first two verses of the book and the last three verses of the book of 2 Thessalonians. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from the end of the letter, 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning at verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from 2 Thessalonians. For many liberal commentators, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17 is a mystery verse to them. For this is the only time in all of Paul's letters that he makes such a statement. The verse reads, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. For conservatives, this verse leads us to conclude, without a doubt, that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. Paul said it. It's God's word. We believe that it is true. But for the liberal who does not hold such a high view of the Scriptures, this verse leads to suspicion and skepticism. Some say Paul never wrote this verse or a verse like this in any of his other letters. There is controversy in the Thessalonian church. In particular, he tells us in chapter 2, verse 2, that there have been people who have sent letters to the Thessalonians by spoken word or letter who claim to be from us, but are not. The fact that verse 17 of chapter 3 is included in this letter is the sure sign that this letter is a hoax. Somebody is trying to prove that they're Paul, but they really aren't. In their efforts to prove that they're Paul, they write that they are Paul, but we know it's really not Paul, because Paul doesn't do it anywhere else in any of his other letters. Well, as conservative Christians who believe in an infallible and inerrant Bible, we know that this letter is from Paul because Paul tells us in verse 17. Nevertheless, there is still a mystery that surrounds this verse, a mystery which we will take a close look at this morning in seeking to solve. Why does the Apostle Paul write this verse in this letter and none of the others? To solve this mystery, we must begin by taking a close look at the structure. You will notice, first of all, that verse 17 is sandwiched between a repetitious phrase. At the end of verse 16, we read, the Lord be with you all. In verse 18, we read, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The repetitious phrase is, be with you all. We know that this repetition is intentional because the last verse of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians concludes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now in 2 Thessalonians, he has added the word all. The word all is added in the last verse because the apostle is making a connection for us with the last part of verse 16. The Lord be with you all. Why? Why does the apostle repeat this phrase? Well, we know, of course, that whenever the Bible repeats itself, that means it's important. But God uses repetition throughout the entire Bible to emphasize something, to call someone's attention to something, to call God's people attention to something. When Abraham is about ready to stab his son Isaac, the angel comes out and says, "Abraham, Abraham." When Moses is standing by the burning bush, out of the bush comes, "Moses, Moses." When Samuel is being called by the Lord as he is a little boy and he is sleeping in his room, he hears, "Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." Now, once again, through way of repetition, God is emphasizing something for us. There is something important he wants us to see by his careful repetition of this phrase, which the apostle has written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why? What is so important about this phrase? The answer is found when you take careful notice of the chiastic structure between the first part and the last part of this letter. In the first part of the letter, chapter 1, verse 1, the apostle tells us who wrote the letter and to whom the letter is written. In verse 2, he expresses his greeting, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. In the benediction of this letter, the last three verses, the apostle has reversed that particular order. In verse 16, he expresses to them God's peace. In verse 18, he expresses to them God's grace. In chapter 1, verse 2, we have grace and peace. In chapter 3, verse 16, we have peace. In verse 18, we have grace. A reversal of the order, an indication that this is a chiastic structure, an inclusio which envelops the entire message of this particular letter. It also means that there is a close connection between the first part of this letter and what Paul tells them in the greeting, and the last part of this letter and what Paul tells them in his benediction. What is it? In the first part of this letter, chapter 1, verse 1, the apostle is expressing to them their union and his union with Christ himself. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, three names. It's not Paul the servant, or Paul the apostle, Silvanus the servant, and Timothy his brother. They are all three in one, in unity. The letter is written to the church of the Thessalonians, who are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, an expression of the union that they all have with one another. For as God the Father is in heaven and Christ is in heaven, Paul, God's servant, is on earth, and he, as Christ's apostle, has been privileged, verse 2, to express to God's people God's grace and God's peace. Grace to you and peace, he writes. Where is it from? Is it from Paul? No, it is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, as the apostle, is privileged as Christ's servant, Christ's ordained servant, to express this. But now, as you turn to your benediction, once again, the apostle returns to these particular themes. This time, he begins with peace. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with you all. Now, lest you think that this is just a typical way that letters ended in the New Testament era, and now I conclude peace and grace. keep in mind that the apostle is functioning as God's ordained servant. This isn't just something like the apostle is saying, well, goodbye, or sincerely yours, Paul. Think in terms of the worship service that we are having here at this very moment. Think if God's servant, the minister of the word, would simply have you depart and say, well, goodbye, we're done now, you're dismissed. Of course it doesn't end that way, because as the service ends, the service of worship, as God has spoken to God's people, it ends with the pastor raising his hands and pronouncing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is God's benediction, and Paul has taken this benediction upon his own lips. And as he speaks this benediction, he is again expressing to them the peace of the Lord. As he has worked through this entire letter, this grace and peace envelops his entire message. That means as they read chapter 1 and they identify with the persecutions that have taken place, they have peace with God. When the wife has witnessed her husband being dragged from his home and before the city authorities because he loves Christ and some put to death, she has peace. When the world has turned against them because they love the righteousness of Christ, they have peace. When they fear the man of lawlessness described in chapter 2, they have peace. When they think in terms of those who are idle, causing trouble in the church with their busybodiness, they have peace with God. Paul is concluding this letter. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace when? At all times and in every way. Well, he also speaks of this in this same way concerning the grace. For in verse 18 he concludes, with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That means that no matter what persecution or trouble comes the believer's way, God's grace is theirs. God's grace is sufficient. No one can take that grace away. This is not a new grace. This is not Paul saying, here's more grace than you have already had before. This is not in the Catholic Church where they come forward and you partake of the sacrament and more grace is given to your account. This is the same grace of God which has already been given to them, now being expressed from his servant, Christ's servant, Paul, on earth to them. And in this grace, they find strength. In this grace, no matter what circumstance, no matter what trouble comes their way, they know that this grace is theirs. When they stand for righteousness, when they have people around them who do not live according to righteousness, Paul told them in chapter 3, verse 13, do not grow weary in doing good. But where's my strength? You have God's grace. God's peace, God's grace is bestowed on them through Paul, Christ's apostle, at the beginning of this letter and at the end. But that's not the only connection between the beginning of this letter and the end. Not only is there similar language with grace and peace, but there is also one major difference. In the beginning of this letter, we have a trinity of names. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are sending this letter. This letter is written to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A trinity of names. But now as we come to the end of this letter and we speak once again of grace and peace, there is a singular name. Now may the Lord of peace. The peace comes in this instance at the end of the letter, not from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes specifically only from the Lord. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in all times and every way. The Lord be with you all. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the first letter, as the apostle concludes with his benediction, he writes, now may the God of peace and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God the Father, Jesus the Lord. Now at the end of this second letter to the Thessalonians, he ends only with the Lord. The Lord, singular, only the Lord. The Lord of peace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Why? Why is the conclusion of this letter only in the singular? Well, look carefully again at what he is saying. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and every way. The Lord be with you all. Wait a minute. At the beginning of the letter, the apostle seems to be expressing grace and peace from heaven. It's from God the Father who is in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ who is in heaven. And now as Christ's servant, he is expressing what is from heaven to them even now. But now as the apostle concludes in his benediction, he repeats a phrase. This phrase is repeated two times, not only because it is important, but it is repeated two times because it is a point of emphasis. It is something that you as God's people, as the listeners to the proclamation of God's word, are to take special note of as you read through these verses. The Lord be with you all. Wait a minute. At the beginning in the salutation, it's God the Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ and in heaven and grace and peace from there. But now as he comes to the end of the letter, he speaks in terms of the singular. And this time it is not that expressed as if the Lord is in heaven. The Lord be with you all. That means now. That means on earth. That means he's here. That means his peace, the Lord of peace, is with you at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all is Paul's expression. And as you drop to verse 18, you see that phrase repeated once again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with you now. His presence, the Lord, God the Father is in heaven, chapter 1, but the Lord, he's in heaven, but his presence, says Paul, is with you now. He's here, he's among you. The Lord of peace be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. But how? How, you say? How is the Lord with us all now? He's in heaven. Isn't that what Paul says in the beginning of this letter? And especially even as you read 1 Thessalonians? How? How is the Lord of peace? How is Lord of grace with us now? How can we know him? That's been an issue in this letter, hasn't it? In the first letter, they went on and on discussing whether Paul cared about them because the apostle Paul had left their city and they were saying he was just like any other traveling philosopher and evangelist out for their money and support and going from city to city, but he doesn't really care. They said the same thing about the Lord. You've told us, Paul, that the Lord is coming, but where is the Lord? He's in heaven. In the second letter, it's gone so far that they've wondered whether they've even missed it, chapter 2. Where is the Lord, Paul? He's in heaven, you say, but we want to have him with us now. And Paul, we want you to be with us now. So what does Paul say? Verse 17. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. That means that the Apostle Paul is present in the words of this letter. We do not know if we can trust Paul. He left our city. There are those among us who say, don't trust Paul, don't believe what he said is true. Paul doesn't care about you. He hasn't returned to us yet. He doesn't care. He's moved on. He's making money in other cities. And Paul writes in written words his presence. I, Paul, write this greeting with my very own hand. And as I write this with my very own hand, you are getting me in the words of this letter. My presence is going to you. My words are going to you. What is on my heart from the Lord is going to you in the words of this letter. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. This is the sign. You know what a sign is, don't you? This morning, you're going to witness a sign. The sign is the authentication that it is true. You know that Christ died on the cross. You believe he has risen from the dead and he is in heaven. You believe that he said, do this in remembrance of me. And we call this a sign and a seal. It is a sign that what happened 2,000 years ago is true, a visible means of grace given by God to you. It is a sign to you as you participate in this sacrament that what has taken place on that cross, what you have professed with your lips is true and it's yours. Everything that you witness here to this morning is true because you know this sign is real. The apostle has sent a letter. It's been written in his own hand. And the fact that it has been written in his own hand is the sign of its genuineness in every letter of his. The fact that the apostle sends this letter written in his very own hand is the authentication, the sign that what the apostle has said in this letter from Christ himself is true. As the letter goes from where Paul is in Corinth to Thessalonica, Paul is going in the essence of that letter. He is with them in that letter. But wait. This verse is surrounded. It is surrounded by a repetitious phrase, which indicates importance and emphasis. And what is that phrase? The Lord be with you all. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The Lord's peace is with you. The Lord's grace is with you. I send this letter, and in the words of this letter, I am with you. And guess what? Christ is with you. I am Christ's apostle. I was appointed as God's servant to go throughout the world and to preach the gospel to you. As Christ's apostle, chapter 1, he has privileged me as his servant to express to you from him his grace, his peace. And His grace and His peace continues to be expressed to you through me, who is present in this letter, because I wrote it with my own hand. And as I write these words as Christ's apostle, with the authority to express His grace and peace, He too is present in the words of this letter. The Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. You have doubts whether the Scriptures are true. You have doubts, Thessalonians, as to whether Christ is real, as to whether He will return. Recognize that He is with you. He is with you in the words of this letter. He is with you in the very Word of God that He has given you, that you have in your hands for the Thessalonians in this letter and for you this morning in these Scriptures. You want to know about Christ and His presence? You find it in the Scriptures. You want to know about the peace of the Lord as you go through trouble in your life? You find it in the Scriptures being expressed to you. You want to know about the grace of Christ? Be reminded as you go through discouraging and troubled times in your lives? You find it in the Scriptures. This is how Christ communicates with His people. This is how Christ is present with you in His grace and His peace, in the power of His very written Word of God. What greater motivation could you have to read the Scriptures than to know in these Scriptures you find the Lord in heaven's grace and peace present with you? What greater motivation could you ever have to come to church and to hear this word proclaimed than to know, as you hear it, Christ's peace and grace is with you? Than to know, as you come to the service and as you worship and as the Lord's ordained servant proclaims that gospel and He concludes the service with a benediction such as this, with the very words of Paul, that Christ's grace and peace is being expressed to you. That is your motivation. That is the sign of Christ's presence with you. That is the sign of genuineness that you look to as you read your Scriptures, as you study the Scriptures, as you know that grace and peace which is given to you forevermore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for this benediction of the Apostle Paul. We thank You for the careful structure that he has put before us so that we can recognize that in these written words that You inspired him to write as Your apostle, Your presence is with us. Your peace is with us. Your grace is with us. You are with us. Lord, we pray that You would work in our hearts, that we would be motivated through this understanding to read the Scriptures, to come and to hear them proclaim. And even now, O God, as we prepare for another sign, the visible means of grace that You have given us in that Holy Supper, that the Word and Sacrament would strengthen us in our faith, that when we face challenges to our faith, that when we are fading away from a desire to do good and right, your Spirit, through your word, would drive us to you. That we would find comfort, that we would find your presence, that we would find your grace and peace, which has been bestowed to us, and that this grace and peace would give peace to our hearts. O Lord, you alone can do this. You alone equip us, enable us to find this peace and grace forevermore. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.